Joining us right now, Eric Coleman, 9-year NFL veteran, college football analyst for CBS Sports Network, and he also hosts on NFL Radio. Eric, good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm doing great. How you fellas doing?
We're doing well, man. We're
doing really well in a full weekend of football to talk about. I want to start with last night and the Giants and the Cowboys, and we know how much Odell Beckham Jr. means to this Giants offense, but they weren't able to muster a thing against a Cowboys defense. It hasn't really been a top five defense over the last couple of years. What were some of your takeaways from that game last night?
Well, first of all, you know, I was doing the analysis on the Jets game, and I thought their offense looked pretty bad until I saw the Giants.
And I know the
reason why the Jets offense isn't as successful, but for the Giants, I mean, they have all the tools that you can ask for. Yes, they're missing Odell Beckham, but they still have Brandon Marshall, Sterling Shepard, you know, Eli Manning. So I expected a lot more from their offense. You know, I think up front, it's tough to win when you can't run the football or protect your quarterback. So they're going to have to do some things up front to change it up to get some protection.
Now, Eric, as a defender, though, when you take Beckham Jr. out of the equation, doesn't that free you up to pay attention to so many other pieces of that offense? So, I mean, it goes without saying, not having the firepower of Odell Beckham Jr. out there really opens up your defensive playbook.
Absolutely. As a defender, when Odell Beckham's out on the field, you are talking about where he is every play, because most of the time your coverage is based on where he's lined up. You know, I remember playing against Steve Smith, you know, in his prime, and we created a whole package to where we had to communicate wherever he was. If he was in the slot, we were going to play cover four and double team him with the safety and the nickel. If he was outside, we were going to play two man to him. And that opens things up for your tight ends, your other receivers, for the run game, because you can't dedicate an extra defender to the box. You're double teaming someone else. So that's one-on-ones with your second, third, fourth best cover guys on a Brandon Marshall or a Sterling Shepard or one of their tight ends. So it really does open up what you can do as an offense. But, you know, who knows? Maybe once he gets back, they'll open up their offense and have a lot more success. It was just very disappointing to see them play as bad as they did on the grand stage after knowing that Odell Beckham wasn't playing. It wasn't like they had, you know, 3 days to find out if he was going to play. They had a couple of weeks to prepare for Odell Beckham not playing.
You mentioned how you were doing the Jets-Bills analysis yesterday. The Jets, we know, really don't have a shot. I expected more out of the Bills on both sides of the ball. Are the Bills almost as bad as the Jets are?
The Bills are pretty bad. Yeah, but the one thing they do have, they have Shady McCoy, and he's a game changer. I mean, you saw that yesterday. The Jets' strength is their defensive line, their front seven. And I don't think anyone thought that the Bills would run the football as well as they did against the Jets. You know, I think that it was a lesson for the Jets. They over-pursued a lot. You know, not knowing Shady McCoy is probably one of the best vision backs in the league. He has great vision. He sees the whole field, does a great job of cutting back, and he was really dominant yesterday. They didn't have an answer for him. But the Bills, Tyrod Taylor was okay. At times, he did a lot of his damage on his feet, running the ball, extending plays. So, I mean, they're a long ways away. They have a tough schedule ahead of them. But, I mean, I don't think anyone's expecting the Bills or the Jets to come out of the AFC East and make a wild card.
Does the Jets' defense, do they give the Jets a chance to win, you know, 5-6 ball games? Or no, because they're going to have to lean on that D all season, it appears.
Yeah, well, you know, coming into the season, I expected their defense to kind of hold them down. But yesterday, they surprised me. They were giving up runs up the middle. They had a couple of mental mistakes in coverage. They were giving up a ton of big plays. And that's something that, you know, the Jets were counting on their defense to keep them off the field or to get the ball back to the offense, keep them in good field position. And I think, frankly, they were just too tired. You know, there were a lot of three and outs by the offense. They kind of wore down. You know, the first three quarters, they did a great job of keeping the score close. But, you know, I think it's just going to be a microcosm of the season. When you wear them down on offense, when you don't have long drives, it's just going to break down your defense. You can't hold up for that long.
Geo and Jones and Eric Coleman across the country on CBS Sports Radio. Two quarterbacks that were just absolutely putrid yesterday were Carson Palmer and Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton, still a younger player, has a lot of weapons. Carson Palmer now with this David Johnson injury. I mean, this offense, I don't know what's going to happen with them. I'll start with the Bengals, though. Why a shutout in week one with all the potential that they have on that side of the ball?
Yeah, you know, that's very disappointing. I mean, you have so much time to prepare and to know what to expect from the defense. And for them to put up a zero was very disappointing. I mean, they have the run game and Giovanni Bernard and Joe Mixon. You know, they have the weapons and A.J. Green. They have so many players on that offense. It was very disappointing to see them get shut out. You know, that was it's going to be tough sledding for the rest of the season if that's the way they're going to play on offense. But, you know, to turn it over to the other side, Carson Palmer, I mean, this is a guy who Arizona, their whole organization has been kind of waiting on him to turn that corner. They had the easy offseason for him this year. Bruce Arians, it was much noted that they rested him a lot, trying to rest his arm. Bruce Arians thought in the past he's thrown too much. And then he goes out and just plays terrible. And that was very disappointing. And Bruce Arians even said it, you know, you can't throw the ball away as much as that. You know, when you're a veteran like Carson Palmer, these are rookie mistakes that you're making. You can't throw the ball in the coverage. You can't you have to be more accurate, and you're supposed to be a premier quarterback in this league and lead this team to hopefully deep into the playoffs.
And you can't fumble the ball and you're in the red zone, David Johnson. I know he hurt his wrist, but still, there's a lot of blame to go around for that football team. Another defense, I want to think this is an aberration, what happened to the Texans yesterday. They didn't get to play that last preseason game. Of course, they're back in Houston dealing with the devastation of Harvey. Do you think this is just a one-off? Offensively, quarterback struggles. Dwayne Brown, of course, they're probably their best offensive lineman. He's still holding out. So you think this was just an anomaly and they get past this first week?
I sure hope so. You know, because I think a lot of people are expecting good things from the Texans, especially that defense. And I think maybe they were just mentally exhausted after going through all the trials and tribulations from Harvey. You know, that has to be taxing on your team. You know, I know J.J. Watt has done great things in raising money for Houston, and, you know, their focus has kind of probably been away from football too much. You know, it's easy to say, you know, once you get into the locker, once you get on that field, you're thinking about football, but these guys have family issues that they were dealing with, figuring out where they're going to stay when they get back home. You know, so I'm sure that was a big distraction, because to give up that many points to Jacksonville and just to get dominated the way they did, you know, I don't think anyone expects the Jacksonville Jaguars to be competitive in the NFC South, although the Colts didn't look good either. So
didn't look good's an understatement there.
Yeah, go there. I mean, when your head coach doesn't even know who just kicked your ass, you know you're in trouble. He gave San Francisco credit. And San Francisco would take it, considering how they play. Thank you, Coach Pagano. We're 1-0.
Oh, man. Maybe they were preparing to play San Francisco instead of the Rams.
What do you think about the Rams, though? Yeah, the Colts are terrible, and I don't expect much from them, but Goff looked good. Gurley looked good. You got Sammy Watkins there now to throw the football. The defense played off the charts without Aaron Donald. Is this the start of something good there for Sean McVay's team?
Yeah, I love their attitude. You know, the things that you can control as a football player, your attitude, your effort, your knowledge of the game, and I thought that they were very well prepared. They had a great attitude. They were working hard. They were fired up, and the effort was there. So I think it's just a preview of what you can possibly see. I don't expect the Rams to go out there every week and dominate the way they did. But it's great to see that they have confidence and they believe in their head coach. They're going to go out there and run their offense. And it was great to see Jared Goff have some success, especially after a very rough rookie season. So it was a good start for them. Hopefully they'll get some more fans to come watch the games and get L.A. behind them and have some success this year.
Eric, let me ask you about the first game of the season, and that was last Thursday, Kansas City at New England. New England, they're being serenaded. They get the rings, and they're celebrating another Super Bowl, their fifth championship, of course. But KC, their defensive approach, what did you see in the manner in which they went after Tom Brady and smothered Gronkowski and won that ball game on the road?
Oh man, it was exciting to see the Kansas City defense flying around the way they did. You know, I thought Bob Sutton did a great job of game planning the Tom Brady and the Patriots. You know, Bob Sutton was my defensive coordinator with the Jets for several years, so he's very familiar with Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. And I thought them getting pressure on Tom Brady, you know, everyone always talks about getting him off his spot. And it's so important to make Tom Brady uncomfortable, because when you get him on the move, it takes him from being, you know, an elite quarterback, you know, probably the best in the game, and it drops him down to just being very good. And when he's just very good, you give yourself a chance on defense, especially with the playmakers they have on that side of the ball. You know, I thought Justin Houston did a good job of getting pressure. And, you know, they Rob Gronkowski didn't look like Gronk yesterday. You know, on Thursday, he was very stiff. He didn't look like he was running the crisp routes. He didn't look as explosive. And I have to think that that's just probably his back injuries catching up to him a bit. But a great job by Kansas City Chiefs. They did a heck of a job. Alex Smith had a great game. And it's, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs are going to be probably they're going to probably come out of the AFC West. And then they look very good.
Gio and Jones with Eric Coleman, now with CBS Sports Network, talking some college football and NFL radio, talking some NFL football, 9 years in the NFL. Oklahoma beats up on Ohio State, an extremely impressive victory for Baker Mayfield and his group. Big concerns for Ohio State, big picture coming out of this, or what?
Oh, there's a lot of concerns out of Ohio State. I mean, you know, one, JT Barrett has not been throwing the ball down the field. And that's concerning. You know, this is the quarterback who they're depending on, who they trust to lead their team. He's the leader of that offense. He's the leader of the team. And they can't drive the ball down the field. And what's even more concerning is Ohio State's secondary. I mean, they're giving up big play after big play, and they're supposed to be one of the top secondaries in the country. You know, that was very disappointing. You know, a well-coached secondary, well-coached defense, giving up big plays just at a clip. Baker Mayfield looked great. He was slinging the ball. He was confident. And I was really happy for Oklahoma. You know, after the last year getting embarrassed on their home field, they had a real chip on their shoulder. They came in. They let everyone know they had a chip on their shoulder coming into the game. Then went out and showed what they can do. They dominated. And it was just a great win for Oklahoma.
Now, Eric, just so you know, if you ever want to be a guest on this show again, you can never be happy for Oklahoma, okay? Just want you to take note of that.
My bad.
All right, yeah, yo bad. Go Boise State. How about that? Yeah. What a comeback by Wazoo, but we don't want to talk about your crazy coach, the Pirate, Mike Leach. I want to ask you about Notre Dame. We just had a healthy discussion last hour about Notre Dame, and, of course, they're disappointed they lost a one-point game to Georgia, but a lot of people seem to think that this team will tank much like they did a year ago. Do you foresee that happening?
I sure hope not. You know, first of all, I don't know how Brian Kelly is still coaching there. You know, when you think of a team like Notre Dame, you mm-hmm. think of a lot of success. And just how much controversy has come out of there, the inconsistency they've been playing with, I think he's definitely on the hot seat. And you know, I expect more from Notre Dame. But, you know, listen, Georgia is a good football team. I think that out of the SEC, they're probably going to be definitely top three. And you know, they put together a good game plan, but I hope that Notre Dame can keep it together. You know, just for you know the tradition they have there at the university, they have a great fan base, great alumni base. I think that they have the support that they need. It's just going to be a fact: can Brian Kelly keep the team believing in his message?
We had a discussion earlier on the show. A couple of Notre Dame fans calling up saying that Brian Kelly is just not the guy anymore. One guy said he didn't have it. And he couldn't give us a description of what it was, but he said he didn't have it. Is he the long-term answer, in your opinion, there in Notre Dame?
You know what? I don't think so. You know, there comes a time when, you know, when you have the rah-rah coaches, the coaches that always cursing people out, embarrassing guys, there comes a time when that kind of wears off and it loses its effect. Guys get tired of hearing it. And I think you're at that point in Notre Dame when, you know, players are tired of being embarrassed. They're not really catching on to his message anymore. And really the approach that he's taking with those players, it's just wearing off. So, I think long-term they're going to have to look elsewhere for a coach to lead that program. You know, Notre Dame takes a lot of pride in their football teams, and they take pride in taking care of the home field advantage. And for them to get beat on the main scale like that, on the big stage, it's kind of embarrassing, but they did lose to a good team. So, but ultimately, I think that Brian Kelly is going to be out of Notre Dame.
Brian Kelly ain't going nowhere, man. Y'all crazy. Y'all need to stop all that nonsensical talk. Nowhere. He's going nowhere. He had a bad season a year ago, 4-8. He will be just fine. Okay? Can we get that straight? Hey, how impressed are you with Clemson's new quarterback, Kelly Bryant? This kid is tough.
Oh, man. I thought Deshaun Watson was still playing out there.
Yeah.
When I was watching him.
Yeah.
I mean, he was throwing the ball. He was running around the field. And I love what Dabo Swinney does, you know, what he brings to that organization. You know, the Clemson kids are fired up. They have so much talent over there, and I just love the brand of football they're playing right now.
That defense, man, smothering. You ever been on? I know you played on some good defenses with the Jets, but the way they balled the other night, and Auburn's defense is nothing to sneeze at, but clearly Clemson has the better D.
Yeah, I mean Clemson, they showed they could stop the run, stopping Petway. They were all over the wide receivers. Mm-hmm. They really did it all. You know, their defensive line was getting after the quarterback, stopping the run. I love the swagger that their defensive backs have. You know, I'm a former DB, so I'm looking at how they play on third and short, how they challenge the receivers, and they were not hesitant to get up in the faces of the Auburn receivers and really just dominate. You know, it was great to see a team play with that much discipline, that much swagger, and that much edge. It was Clemson's going to be a good team.
Of the four teams that are playing tonight on Monday Night Football, is there one that you are interested in above the others? I guess Denver, but I don't know. Four of these teams don't interest me whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, the league has got to get it right with the Monday Night Football schedules. You know, there are a lot of questions coming out of Denver. You know, who's going to be their quarterback? Hopefully Brock Osweiler doesn't make his way under center. But, you know, but at the end of the day, everybody's going to watch it. You know, it's Monday Night Football. The first Monday night of the season, it's a doubleheader.
You got Peterson against the Vikings, and people will be into that.
Yeah, that's a good one. But I don't expect Adrian Peterson to come out and just dominate the Vikings. I mean, they have a very good defense. They're going to take pride. I'm sure the one player they're not going to let beat them is Adrian Peterson, just because they don't feel like it, you know, explaining themselves to the world. But, you know, Mike Zimmer always leads the Vikings with some good defense. Their secondary is probably one of the best in the NFL. So that's going to be a good challenge. You know, Drew Brees versus the secondary of the Minnesota Vikings. I think that will probably be the exciting matchup to watch.
Eric, always great talking to you. Thanks for the time, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, fellas. You guys have a great week.